Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground. I'm your host, Valerie, and a big thank you to BBS for doing what you do so well. We love you so much, BBS. So this week has been an energetic doozy, friends, hasn't it? I mean, have you felt the energy this week? We have been in the shadows, friends, and now we are in an energetic brilliance, if you will. And, you know, it has heard with highs and lows. And some folks who are in the know are saying we have had a timeline jump. So how about that? We are shifting, friends, if you can believe that. And what exactly could I mean to say that we're shifting? Well, timelines jumping and energy shifting, we're evolving into something of a creation reset point, so to speak, right? Some call it ascension and others call it revelation and others think it's complete bullshit, right? But the energies of change are on us, right? That we know, friends. And because this week has been such an energetically heavy week, I guess, a heavy week with a lot of emotional pull and lots of things going on in the cosmic realm, so to speak, like it has for some time. As we start, I really want to share a minute together with those of you barely hanging on this afternoon, wherever you are. And you know what I mean, don't you? There is a darkness, and we feel it pushing in, don't we? Exhausting its last impulses. But, you know, we are brave, friends, you and I. You are brave. And I just want you to know that I love you, and I'm with you, and I'm for you, and I believe in you. And, you know, we're being told that it's all just a matter of choosing peace, right? Our current circumstance. And you know, it is, but it's hard fought sometimes. It is hard fought. It has come at a price for so many of us, right? And sometimes our only real measure is continuing to choose peace because it's the, you know, it's the only choice in 100 choices a day that pulls us together, mind, body, and spirit, and, you know, maybe helps us carry on. And the process is a necessary one when we think about it. It's necessary to our evolution, right? As we find the presence of heart to reach for that thing that will fill us with exactly what we need, nothing more, nothing less. We need spirit in the body, friends. That's what we need. The dark wants us stressed and suffering and stuck. But we're not of the dark. We are the light of the world. You, even in your struggle, you are the light of the world. So own it. Own it and find peace. Own it and command peace, friends. Command it into yourself by your spirit. I command my spirit to flow life force through me. And I command spirit to heal and balance me. I command my spirit to fill me with source light and consciousness. You know, those are simple words powerfully said, even at our weakest moment, friends. We are creators, and we command the realm of the eternal, not the darkness. And I feel you, friends, and I love you. And the truth is, the Christ we think we know was tormented in every possible way by the dark. So put on the armor and wear it and use it. And your light, your determination to step into the light of Source Creator and stay there like a beacon on a lighthouse, your light, it might be tormented too. And we'll talk about that today. And I'm wondering if maybe we can spend an hour together allowing our inner child to ponder a few things together out of curiosity, maybe without judging the crazy stuff that might come out of our mouths, right? It's an art, isn't it, when you think about it, listening without interrupting, just to do it. And asking questions purely to listen to the answers we might get. Very, very few of us have perfected the exquisite art of listening. We are not real good at listening when we'd much rather talk. And I know all about that because I love to talk and I have something to say about every single thing there is to talk about. And I guess that's obvious. When I'd probably do maybe better to listen more sometimes. Just as an inside, right? There's something extremely attractive about a good listener, isn't it? They draw you in with the anticipation of their attentive silence, and it excites the spirit somehow. Have you noticed that? So, along those lines, I was listening to a conversation recently that sparked my immediate particular interest. And it was one of those conversations that lingers and the kind you think about for days afterward. Anybody know what I mean? And I want to sort of reflect on some things I heard as a backdrop to my topic today. I want to share the idea that our lives and the work of our spirits is an inside job. It's an inside job in more ways than one. So, what do I mean? Well, in the way of an explanation, can we start with this idea of silence? And I mean cosmic silence, the beginningness of all that is, the cosmic silence of the before times, maybe. So, what is cosmic silence? Well, the way of this conversation I heard describe it as source consciousness. It's the wide open space that holds pure beingness, the empty anticipation before there's sound, the stillness before vibration. Can we start there, friends? It's the manner of idea being expressed in the conversation that I mentioned. We're talking about, I guess, something that goes beyond a physical identifier into the knowingness of our spirit. And it really is presented by this book. From the conversation that I listened to by David Icke. And the book is called The Roadmap, Escaping the Maze of Madness. And it was published this year, as I gather. Now, I have not read it, Okay. But I might, because the conversation was so fascinating. And I want to kind of add to the pieces I heard the best I can and recommend that you dive a little deeper for yourselves. Okay. So, in many an ancient philosophy, source creation is understood as the void or the still silent receptacle for what bursts forward as creation. Does that make sense? It's considered the empty vessel which we fill with enlightenment. So, I'm wondering, is it scary to conceive of source consciousness as the essence of nothing more than silence that knows everything, is aware of everything, and is by that means consciousness itself, the receptacle of consciousness itself? This great singular essence. And I guess we could imagine it as the seed planted deep inside everything created. Does that make sense? This cosmic silence is a cosmic seed planted in the consciousness of everything, able to hold consciousness, and that actually creates the holding of consciousness within us as a kinetic. Kind of a consciousness ready to bloom when the will decides to create. Can you picture it, friends? And then there's a burst of creation forming the evolution of everythingness, right? That will evolve eternally from its origins. The great silence imbues its burst of creation with energy that masterminds the somethingness now, the beingness that comes forth as spirit. And it does that through conscious awareness. And spirit divides itself, and the consciousness flows with that division. And then I guess we're off to the races, right? As co-creator spirits in this void of potential kinetic creation. And we utilize our energetics to dream worlds and universes and all manner of realities then, right? And we call that quantum, those material worlds. And we energize these worlds and control them. And, this world was created and energized and controlled. Can you see that? Can you imagine it, friends? So, who energized our world? Is it who we think it is? Have we ever asked that question? Who controls this world filled with a darkness that spirit could never anticipate until its incarnation into the quantum materiality of the physical world we live in. A world we keep incarnating into without rest. I mean, that's what we're doing. Is it worth some meditation on questions like that? Can our inner child suppose with curiosity questions like that to entertain potential answers in a way that might come through the still quiet silence of that tether to source that we have? And so we might ask, why must we be rescued from a creator that comes from source? And who is this creator that causes us to need rescue from the source God of our creator consciousness? And I wonder, are we curious enough for questions like these? And in the noise and chaos of this physical world, few of us ever consider that the closest we could ever get to our source again is in the silence between us. The still quiet that holds space for us to return as children of God, metaphorically speaking, I suppose. Yet we fill that space, don't we, with all the things we hope will help us to, I guess, embody the silence, don't we? We fill the silence. We fill it with things that we hope embody God, right? The sermon, the music, the choir, the organ, the piano, the prayers, the liturgies, the congregational responses shared in religious gatherings, the testimonies of faith. It's a lot of sound, isn't it? We go to holy places to find a connection to a silent source. And we fill that silence with noise, trying to fill God and find God. And you know what? I've been trying to find God a long time, friends. I have picked up every breadcrumb I could, and in my desperation, I have missed him every single time. I have missed him every single time. And so maybe the idea is that we should allow God to come to us. What do you think? We get quiet and still, and we just let go. And we allow what is to be. And what isn't meant for us, we allow it to fall away. And we cry if we have to. Always breathing in a new hope, though, friends. Always breathing in a new hope. Can we do that? Breathe in and breathe out as we build our peace and insist that it surrounds us. You know, instead of talking and talking and talking and thinking and thinking and thinking and all the sound we make trying to capture the silence, all the motion that it takes, we are spirits crying out to fill the void, even as life gets busy and loud and noisy, and our heads get busy and loud, and we talk and talk and talk as a way to animate the essence underlying the noise, but we can't hear anything as we're talking. And we pray and pray and pray, and we never hear a thing. We never hear an answer. We fill special time with Source God with as much language as we can to help describe what we need and what we want. And mostly we want answers that we never hear. And you know, is it any wonder that we never engage the sound of silence, where feelings dispatch knowing instead of noise, and inspiration comes to those who offer space to time without thinking and experiencing without words? And we think, well, we've done our part being noisy and energetic as we can, but still we get no answer from God. Until we're forced to sit down, and sometimes it is truly forceful, that force that sits us down against a wall, maybe, as we're pushed against a wall, and we're forced to be still, to shut our mouths and just listen to what is nothing, I suppose, at first. This nothing that grows into a stirring in our heart, and we cry because we feel the unspeakable and the unnameable blossom from that seed of source creation from so long ago in this eternal now. that seed planted in us called our spirit, the spirit nourished by the light of God, because we've let go of the energy of motion, the forces of manifesting, the laws of materiality, and we're sitting with pure essence. And it feels like home, doesn't it? Like our true selves, like a breath of fresh air, like what we long for and can't find in the material world around us. And then, only then, we start to hear things in a still small voice, like a pulse that feels like answers, finally, that feels like responses, quiet cogitations of inspiration and truth, maybe, in the stillness, on the inside, within us, essence stirred within. Does that make sense, friends? That it's purely an inside job. It is purely an inside job. Reaching our spirit, it comes from within, friends. In the silence of the beginning of everything kinetic and source creation. So, part of the conversation I overheard was about the human misinterpretation of what our life force really is. So we mistake it as a quantum experience in a physical reality like humanity on an earth, for example. And we believe that the quantum of things, the energy that burst forth from source creation, is the source of creation itself, right? We equate this reality with our cosmic identity, and we conceive of ourselves as humans rather than spirits of an eternal nature. Succumbed maybe to the physical construct of a material world. And we place limitations on that life force energy that sustains us, right? We think we are the essence of what's around us in a materiality, in a quantumness of energy. But we're not, friends. We're not. We are rather the essence of light that is a resonance of spiritual frequencies unified in source consciousness. Individual sovereign spirits searching for synchronicity of what is existing outside the materiality of quantum. Of what existed before the quantum of energetics that create our daydreams and our nightmares. To sing songs of what was the creation process once, that's what our spirit wants to do. We are the collection of the frequencies of each of us unified in source consciousness. We are commanders of our own creating. We command source creation. That is the doing out of the silence of the all-knowing. Do we understand that, friends? Does it make sense? The material realm around us is a backdrop, an illusion that captivates us and captures us inside it. It makes us mortal, and small, and limited, and corrupted, and forgetful, and impoverished, and lonely, and suicidal, because it defines us now. After all this time being here, incarnation after incarnation, it causes us as eternal spirits to consider ending our own essence. Can you imagine that? That level of violent darkness. Think about that. That is true power in an illusion that captivates us so. And we forget our celestial selves with a host of dark goodies and treasures and identities and competitions and excitements and struggles and pain and suffering. Do we see that? And after a while, we stop trying to break free from the matrix that it makes. And we begin to believe this reality is our true reality. That this is what's real. And we forget we're spirits captured here by a darkness, if we can believe that. Why do you think we need an ascension, friends? Why does the cosmos need to turn itself off so that the false light will fall away? What is this idea of revelation all about? Why on earth are our younger generations talking so much about apocalypse and Armageddon as if it were just turns of phrases? And only true spirit, tethered to source, will remain after this physicality falls away, friends. Why are we working so hard to connect with our source through conscious awareness that is the base of source creation itself? Why do we beg people to sit down and get quiet and allow source to reach us away from the noise and away from the darkness? Why do we do that? Because we need a way. We need a way to reconnect to the shared field of consciousness that is spirit resonating with God, each and every one of us. We have to be sure we're connected, right? We're connected to and consciously aware of the real source of our beingness and not false light. We need a way of shifting out of a false consciousness that the material world offers. Does that make sense, friends? It's our duty to spirit, to connect ourselves, to go back to source, to the silence, and to avoid the noise whenever we can. Your I am is there, friends, in the quiet company you keep with yourself. I am that I am is the true you. Anything after I am, anything spoken after the I am, is a construct. It's a limitation. It's an identity that binds us to less than what we are. It is an identity that fills our days with duties to any manner of other things than to our own true beingness, friends. And we're in it to win it, aren't we? Here in this materiality. We want to love this trip we're on here in the quantum, this trip that hurts a lot of the times, but we try so hard, right? The distractions on this trip are just enough to help us forget how to get home. Home to the silence that is full conscious awareness of what we really are. The I am. That's allness and everything. We are the I am that we are. Saying, don't limit us. Don't enslave us. Don't fabricate the light for us. We demand our liberties and we command our I am as conscious creators that we are. Is it possible that so many of us can't free ourselves from the guilt we feel at professing our own inner Christos? Are we feeling so guilty by commanding our spirits to anchor us to our own source consciousness? And is it religion that has us feeling like sinners when we step into the I am space where God really is? And we feel scared to suggest that we are spirits as gods manifest from source consciousness. How dare we do such a thing? How dare we be a Christ? How dare we anchor ourselves in a manner that keeps us sovereign from this material world? And why? Why don't we dare? Are we expecting to be struck down on high by something or somebody? Okay, friends, that's false light talking. And it's very, very loud. And it is very loud, false light of fear and control and darkness. There is none of that in source creation. But it's done to keep us cowering in a pew, afraid of a jealous, warring God of the Old Testament. And that's not our God, friends. That's the God of the dark. If we're brave enough to consider it, it's the God of a controlled agenda put onto pages of books of every single religion. And please, please don't let me offend. Please don't let me offend. I cannot help but say what I say. Maybe feel into the idea, friends. Don't trust me. Feel into it yourself. Find your own knowing. Trust yourself and don't be afraid to consider your own magnificence in the matter. You are true magnificence. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you're not. You're not here to learn a lesson. You're not here to cower to a Christ on a cross that is a false light trying to get you to feel guilty about the I am that is you. You know, we used to be the I am with wild abandon as kids. Oh, yeah. We used to have wild abandon as the I am. Can you remember in your childhood all of the imagination and creativity? It was unbounded, wasn't it? Children do this extraordinary thing, and it's called object substitution. Okay? Object substitution. They think symbolically. So what is symbolic thinking? Well, a mop is not just a mop, right? It's a horse, or it's a lance, or a lightsaber, or a girlfriend with long hair, right? Or something to jump over, or something to dance with, right? Do we see that? Children, I am all over the place, all the time, all day, every single day, until they learn not to. Right? Concrete, rational thought starts taking over. And then children become self-conscious. Now, I want you to think about that word, self-conscious. We become self-conscious. We step into the polarity of a matrix. And things become right or wrong, good or bad. Our source consciousness becomes self-consciousness in its limitations. and our self becomes material. It becomes ego. It becomes mind. Because we're being taught an identity and rules to managing a physical world, and our inspiration disappears. Our imagination disappears into an ever-expanding thinking brain, and the I am fades away, doesn't it? And I would wager that our I am faded for most of us. That spark of our magnificence, it dimmed, and our light dimmed. And with a little abuse or neglect or too much responsibility or judgment or unreasonable expectation, some of us stopped flickering altogether, didn't we? But I want you to know, we can command spirit back into the body if we want to. We can command it back, friends. We can call it back. We can command it to increase our life force, to fill us with source light. We can do that anytime we need to. So, like we said, many in ancient philosophy centered their teachings on resting in the silent void, right? The silent void of a prime creation as practices for maintaining that connection to conscious awareness. And what they filled the void with was consciousness. Rather than identity and ego and the need for material things, right? Does it cause us to ask ourselves what our cup is filled with right now, friends? What is our cup filled with right now? So the Tao teaches its followers to become mirrors of the true universe by allowing for spaciousness in the mind, to allow the non-thinking that moves into an everythingness, I guess, of source consciousness. This spaciousness fills the cup that's been emptied of ego and materiality and limitation and suffering, to allow what is to be without judging or wanting or expecting. It's a hard practice much of the time if we're not dedicated to continuing to empty the cup of the mind and allow ourselves the emptiness that mirrors source's silent, kinetic seeding of a spirit at peace with knowing itself as more than physicality. Do we see that? More than quantum energy, but that which supersedes the quantum, that which came before the quantum. There is a limitlessness to such a practice that helps us remember our true natures and lets us put the perspective we have about life inside a matrix in its rightful place. Do we see that? As a mechanization of an energetic reality that we would resist being captive of. You know, we are the creators, which means resisting the intrusion of being created upon. And that means the natural laws of sovereign beingness demand our release from a matrix holding us prisoner. But you know, it's up to us to reimagine the false reality that captures us. Does that make sense, friends? And that means we become limitless as the I am that we are. And so maybe we need to remember ourselves and refuse to play on the playgrounds that impose rules against our sovereignty. How about that? And we insist on using our creation powers for good. Does that make sense, friends? Do we understand the idea that we're talking about today? To build playgrounds that are anchored in light, that are safe for the spirit, that are unified in source and consciously aware at all times of the I am that energizes us. You know, we are anchored, we are safe, we are unified, and we are conscious. And I sort of woke up with that mantra today. It has been in my mind. And so I thought I would share that. That's what we are. It's what we do, right? You know, and just ask Chris Potter. And then I promise you, that's my only reference today to Kung Fu, The Legend Continues. I promise. But I sort of had to get that in there. That's what we are. That's what we do, right? So there's a stage of development that toddlers go through called mirror self-reflection. It's the point when a child realizes she's looking at herself in a mirror and not somebody else, like another child, for example. She sees her true self at that moment as she becomes consciously aware of the mirror being. Okay? She becomes conscious of her beingness. And there was, up until that time, other children that she experienced, right? And her experiences were those that focused on the otherness of the environment she was in. She really had no attachment to her body as a self, to her spirit beingness as a self in a material realm. So as adults, I'm curious if we're focused on the otherness of a physical experience without an attachment to our spiritual selves. I mean, is that what we go through our day doing, attending to this physical experience rather than attaching what we are doing to a spiritual beingness? You know, are we primarily the workings of the environment, molded by it, swayed by it, limited by it? Because, you know, we limit the spirit in those ways without a spiritual mirror self-reflection. Do we see that? Our eternal self is maybe not so much a part of the physical identity we hold, and our spirit isn't recognized because of it. Does that make sense? So hopefully at some point we realize there, you know, there's a true essential self. There's a true essence and a physical identity self that maybe are not the same experience or essence necessarily. They may not want the same things or need the same things or prefer the same things. And maybe our good work is sort of coalescing the spirit into a physical body with a big brain that may have better things to do. Does that make sense? But until there's recognition of the spirit as our true essence, we're really not going to internalize source consciousness, right? At some point, we'll be missing out on what ascends us if we're not very, very careful, right? If we're not aware, if we aren't integrating spirit or embodying it, as it were, you know, in our physicality, which may mean, friends, that we might need, you know, a little bit of mirror time with their spirits. How about that? What do you say to that? And what do you say, maybe, to a quick expressive exercise together before we go? You know, we like to spend time doing a little expressive self-therapy on Sunday afternoons, and I'm so glad we do. And so today I thought we would revisit that mantra that I shared with you. You want to? We are anchored, we are safe, we are unified, and we are conscious. Let's work with that a little bit. Some of us like to use our notebook during activities, but really anything to write on and anything to write with will do. And if we can't get to a table, we can always meditate on the questions as we go. It's our choice, right? How we would like to experience our expressive self-therapy together. So we're going to engage our natural stream of consciousness in this activity. All right. And we're going to do a free writing sort of guided only by the questions that I ask. Okay. The idea is to write down the first thing that comes to mind and allow ourselves time to reflect on what we've captured and why. Okay. The why is an important part of our self-reflection, and it may come sometime in the week or sometime a few days from now, we sit down and we say, this thing that I just experienced has me thinking about my little exercise that I did on Sunday. Let me see what I think about that and what it might mean for me. So are we ready? Any old thing to write on and any old thing to write with? It's a wonderful opportunity just to do a little bit of natural stream of consciousness thinking and free writing together. So let's go ahead and draw four boxes on a piece of paper. Four boxes on a piece of paper. Make them just large enough to write a few words or phrases inside each box, okay? Are we ready? Four boxes on a piece of paper and make them just large enough to write a few words or phrases inside there. So in the first box, let's reflect on what anchors us in our lives to our spirit. What anchors us to our spirit? And let's be as specific as we can. Okay, what anchors us in our lives to our spirit? Okay, capture the first things that come up for you, right? The first things that come to mind, capture that on your paper. You got it? So let's go to the next box. Okay, and here's your question for the next box, box number two. What makes us feel safe? And I mean truly safe. Get as specific as you can. What makes us truly safe? What is safety to you? Okay. Think about that and record what comes up, okay? Whatever it is that comes up, let's get that recorded in box number two. All right? What is safety to you? Got it? The first thoughts, let's get those down. Okay, third box, are we ready? What unifies you with your spirit? What unifies you with your spirit? And you can take that any way you want to. Okay, as literally as you want to, as specifically as you want to, as metaphorically as might come up. What unifies you with your spirit? Your first thoughts. What does that mean to you? How do you interpret that? And if you're like, I do not know what you mean, Val, well, just put that down. And then just maybe guess what it might mean for you. If you had to guess, what might it mean for you? What unifies you with your spirit, right? Your first thoughts. You got it? Okay. Last box, box number four. What does conscious awareness mean for you? If you had to define it according to your interpretation, right? What does conscious awareness mean for you? Okay, how do you experience it? Conscious awareness, how do you experience it? And you can get the first thing that comes to your mind, get it on paper. And maybe this week you can spend some time adding to that thought and maybe adding to your definition and feeling into, you know, a full kind of contemplation about that question. How do you experience conscious awareness, right? Got it? All right. Now, take a minute, and we're going to rank in order of certainty your answers, right? We're going to rank your boxes 1 through 4 in order of certainty of your answers. How certain were you of your answers? Okay, so consider each box. Let's rank them according to how comfortable you were writing your answers in for each box. Okay, 1 to 4. A 1 is your most certain answer, your clearest answer with greatest clarity and certainty. Which box were you able to answer with greatest clarity and certainty? Okay, put a number 1 there. The one you're most sure about, the one that came easiest as an answer, put your number 1 there in that box. Now let's choose a 2. Okay, let's choose a 2 and let's choose a 3. Which were the easiest as answers to arrive at? So we know our easiest one, box number 1. And so let's choose our number 2 and our number 3. And now let's take a look at the 4th box and the box that was left for last that perhaps we are not so certain about. And perhaps it might help us to have a little more contemplation this week on that particular idea if we want to. Would it surprise you to know that many folks have no good explanation according to themselves? Right? According to themselves, no good explanation for how they experience conscious awareness, right? As they define it. Okay, so they don't have a real clear idea of how they experience conscious awareness. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. But have we really considered what it really means for us and how it feels and how we might define it, how we notice that it's there, how we notice when we are in a consciously aware state, right? So this might be an opportunity for some further contemplation. So the idea of consciousness is highly subjective. It is highly subjective, very hard to measure, very, very hard to measure scientifically. And so most folks will have explanations that truly differ on the point, right? And that's in large part because people really try to find a feeling to attach to the idea of conscious awareness. And so if in your box you see feeling words, then that's not so unnatural a response, right? The feeling words that might attach to an idea like conscious awareness. So if you explained conscious awareness as a feeling, you're not alone, friends. And so maybe this week you might consider how often you feel that feeling and how you might increase the experience, right, of feeling conscious awareness. And so That was a super short exercise. We usually go a little longer, but I am so glad that you shared that exercise with me. And I hope it serves in some way, friends. It might give you something to think about and to contemplate this week and to really come to terms with as a practice that serves us as we think about how aware we are, and when we get that awareness, and how to create it, and what it feels like, and what it means. And I have enjoyed our time together so very, very much. I enjoy Sundays together so much. But now it's time to go home, time to leave the playground for home, friends. And I want to thank you, BBS, for being on the playground with us as always. And so, everyone, until next time.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.